So today's episode is a fun topic, and I think a lot of you are probably going to relate to this, even if you've never really thought about it before. I mentioned this over on social media a couple weeks or months ago, I can't remember, and I got a ton of really positive feedback, a ton of people saying that they felt seen, that they finally felt like they weren't so weird. So I'm really excited to talk about it today. It seems like a common trait among old-fashioned people like you and I. So if nothing else, maybe listening to today's solo episode will have you feeling not quite so alone. So what am I talking about? Well, I'm talking about this idea that I've known about myself for a while, but it took me a long time to really kind of verbalize it. And it's this concept that I feel fun or I perceive fun differently than many other people, than most people. And I've actually been like that for a really long time. I don't know if it's just how I was wired from birth. I don't know if my childhood kind of set me up as that. I've always been, you know, I'm a firstborn daughter, so I'm kind of a high achiever. I like to get things done. So maybe that's part of it. But I really, really started to notice it all those years ago when we were initially building our homestead and we were in that grind it out phase. I felt like everything needed to be done. I'm sure those of you who are in that beginning stage of homesteading, you know what it feels like. Like there's not enough hours in the day. All the projects are nagging at you mentally. You need to do everything all at once and you walk outside and you just feel overwhelmed. So that's where we were at. And we needed to build fence and fix barns and do roofs and fix our porch and build on our house. And like there was so much to do, but I loved it. And my husband Christian loved it. And we were both still employed in regular jobs at that point. We hadn't started our businesses. And so we would get home on the weekends and guard that time so we could spend as much time as possible working on our projects. And so every weekend, every Saturday, every Sunday, we'd be out there hammering and building and cleaning and mowing. And we loved it. And I remember so many times while we were doing that, our neighbors would drive past our house on the way to the lake. And they would always invite us to the lake. And we'd always be like, oh, sorry, we have to stay home and build fence, which I'm sure they thought sounded super lame. Maybe it is. But they'd drive by with their trucks and their campers and their boats, and we'd wave and they'd wave back. And I'd look at them and I'm like, I would still rather be here building fence on my property than going and hanging out on the lake. And I'm like, what's wrong with me? Why am I like this? Because it genuinely felt like more fun to be working on projects. And so I've continued to kind of chew on that idea for a while. It hasn't changed. I haven't gotten any better. I still prefer fun in a very unconventional sense. And sometimes to this day, I'll be hanging around people who are more conventional fun lovers. You can kind of tell they were party folks in their younger years, you know, the traditional things that humans do to have fun. And I always feel like an odd man out. And it's not that I'm not comfortable with myself or confident. I mean, I like who I am. I like how I'm wired. I'm proud of being kind of a crazy achiever, but I still sometimes sit back and go, why are we so different? So after talking to a bunch of you on social media, I know I'm not alone. So I want to dig into this deeper today. And if you've ever been accused of being a fun hater, well, you may have found your tribe. So keep listening. Here we go. So welcome to Old Fashioned on Purpose. This is the podcast for people who are interested in getting back to the basics. We like to look at what progress has taken away from us as a culture, and then how we can get the good stuff back and weave the best of the old with the best of the new. And I'm your host, Jill Winger. I have been homesteading way back before it was cool. We bought our homestead in 2008 and I have been working on it ever since. And of course, it's still a work in progress, but I love sharing and teaching these old-fashioned and heritage skills. So that's what we're talking about today. Sometimes we go on the practical side. Sometimes we go more on the high-level thought piece side. And today we're just creating some interesting observations about this homesteader, old-fashioned-minded crew of people. So I was doing an interview a while back, I think last fall, and they asked all the typical interview questions. And then towards the end, you know, I could tell they were going through the list. They asked me, Jill, what do you do for fun? And I sat there like a total idiot and like blanked out. I did not know what to say. And I blinked and I stammered and I was like, I'm not sure. I mean, I have fun. And I just was like this word vomit coming out of my mouth. And it wasn't a great moment. It wasn't my most shining moment as an interviewee. And that's kind of what prompted me to post about this on social media. Because like I mentioned in the introduction, I don't think normal things are fun. I don't think conventional things are fun. But I actually do think this really ties back to this idea of being old-fashioned on purpose. This isn't just a personal ramble today. Because I see this trait in a lot of you, a lot of you who are drawn to this lifestyle, whether you are officially homesteading or not, you think different things are fun. And so I've been doing some reading and some research as why is that the case? Is it normal? Is it not normal? Not that it really matters. I'm happy to not be normal, but I'm just interested in this cultural perception. So if you think about it, the idea of fun in our modern sense is usually related to consuming, right? You go to the bar and you consume beverages or food. You go to a concert and you consume the entertainment. You go to a sporting event and you consume the event as a spectator, right? And or even just staying at home and watching Netflix, you're consuming something that someone else created. And that's kind of what our modern society seems to think is fun. It's always consumption. Now, if we rewind hundreds of years or thousands of years, we know that those consumption activities were a really rare treat. You know, even go back in more recent history to something like the Little House on the Prairie books or books that were written in those pioneer eras that give us a glimpse back into those worlds. Getting together and listening to music, usually, you know, it would be a friend playing the music, but getting together to consume something like that was very rare. It was reserved for holidays, and it was very, very special. But now, as modern folks, we kind of expect that all the time. And I think for those of us, you and I, who are drawn to more old-fashioned things intrinsically, I think that pull and that sense that that sort of fun isn't as engaging to us kind of comes naturally. And that's not to say that I don't go to concerts sometimes or go out to eat or watch a show on Netflix. Of course, those things are fine and normal and fun. But I have found that I get the most joy and the most dopamine and the most happiness from creating and producing. And I've kind of always been like that. But I've also found that the more I do that, the better it gets and the more exciting it feels. And what I've realized is where most people seek fun, people like you and I are actually looking for flow. So I can't remember if I've talked about this on the podcast in the past, but the idea of a flow state is a concept that I first came across when I was researching my latest book, Old Fashioned on Purpose, and I included some of this research in the book. But this term, flow, was coined by a psychologist named, I'm going to try to say his name, it's rough, man, Mihaly Csikszentmihalyi. I think he's from Czechoslovakia or somewhere back there. I actually had to pronounce his name properly when I narrated the audio version of the book, and it almost killed me. It was brutal, and I don't even remember how I did it. But anyway, if you Google flow states and you Google Mihaly, M-I-H-A-L-Y, he'll come up. He's all over the internet. But anyway, rabbit trail. This idea of a flow state's really, really cool and really important. And I guarantee you have been in one, even if you don't know it. So a flow state is when you become so immersed in an activity that time ceases to exist. So just pause for a minute and think, when was the last time you experienced that? Maybe it was in the kitchen. Maybe it was in your garden. Maybe you were crocheting or knitting. Maybe you were on your computer. Sometimes I get into that state when I'm creating content. I'm writing. I'm working on graphics. The other day I had it out working a horse. I forgot about everything else in my life. I was just there with the horse and that's all that mattered. But those moments, according to Mihaly, and this is a quote from his book, he says, the best moments in our lives are not the passive, receptive, relaxing times. And he continues by saying, the best moments usually occur if a person's body or mind is stretched to its limits in a voluntary effort to accomplish something difficult and worthwhile. So sit with that for a minute. I'm interrupting this episode for just a second to tell you about a homesteading event that may be near you. And if it is, you definitely gotta go. It's the second annual Modern Homestead Conference in Coeur d'Alene, Idaho. And before I tell you more, I have some good news and some bad news.
The bad news is that I can't attend and I am so bummed. I just couldn't make the dates work this year. But the good news is there are a ton of other amazing speakers and experts that you are going to learn so much from. Joel Salatin will be there. Lisa from Farmhouse on Boone. She's been here on my podcast. Homesteading Family, Sally Fallon, Jess from Roots and Refuge, and tons more. They'll also have Dr. Temple Grandin doing a very special talk this year. I got to see her last year and she was amazing. So this two-day event features presentations for both beginner and advanced homesteaders. There's topics like food preservation, seed saving, animal husbandry and processing, fire and homestead preparedness, herbalism, how to build a strong community, and that is just scratching the surface. So if you've never attended an event like this, trust me, it's really worth it to make some time and go. You're going to see these things in real life, in person, which will fast track your learning so much more. Plus, there's just nothing like getting to rub shoulders with people who are like-minded and doing all the weird and crazy things that you and I like to do. So get your tickets now. They're still for sale and you can grab them over at modernhomesteading.com.
So sit with that for a minute. He just completely described so many of the skills that we're chasing as old-fashioned on purpose people. It's voluntary, it's difficult, and it's worthwhile. And those three pillars are a great lens from which to view the activities that you're doing on your homestead and doing them with a purpose rather than just a sense of obligation. Because when we can, at least for me, when I can know that I'm baking the bread, I'm doing the harder thing, I'm growing the garden, I'm making the furniture or the blanket, I'm doing it with a purpose in mind, not only for the end result, but also for my own mental health, to get myself in a flow state, it just changes. It changes, for me, the joy that is associated with that activity. Now, there's other names for this flow state. Some people call it the zone. Some people call it peak performance. But all I know is that once you have felt it, you go through a brick wall to get it again. And I think that's why for me, just watching Netflix or just going to a concert or just going to a football game, it doesn't feel as amazing as the feeling and the dopamine, because we have those brain chemicals at work as well, that come when I'm in a flow state out in the garden doing the manual labor. And sure, maybe there's some sweat and some effort involved, but that doesn't negate how awesome I feel in my brain when I'm creating and producing and in flow. And I think when we drill it all down, that is why people like you and I hunt those experiences over passive consumption. And I have a hunch, and this is kind of my secret evil plan here to take over the world, not really, but when I'm introducing these skills to people, these old-fashioned skills, especially to people who are a little bit skeptical, I know that if I can just get them started and get them a little win so their brain gives them some dopamine, odds are I can step back and they will be self-motivated to continue that behavior, right? If I can help someone make their first loaf of bread with all-purpose flour or with yeast, or just even if it's imperfect, even as simple as it can be, it doesn't have to be advanced. If I can get them a little bit of a win with that, they're going to feel so good and so accomplished, they're probably going to want to do it again. And I think that's a really big reason, the reason that the homesteading movement is growing like it is, because those opportunities are so few and far between in our modern culture. You know, and I've spoken to this before, I've preached on this before. It's really the premise of my whole book, the Old Fashioned on Purpose book, is that we've reached this point of progress and industrialization, that ease is our God and convenience is our God, and we worship them above all else. And they're not all bad, right? I've said it before. I'm sitting here in this fancy podcast studio recording for you. It's super hypocritical of me to say we should, you know, ban all electricity and all technology. I'm not saying that. But as we have worshiped progress, we've taken all of these opportunities away from us and our children and our societies to experience those flow states. And I think if more people could, that maybe Netflix wouldn't be so attractive, or maybe video games wouldn't be as attractive. I mean, yes, those still play with the sensors in our brain, so we have to be mindful of that. They can still be addictive. But man, the real world, when you're really engaged with it, it's pretty hard to beat it, right? So for me, I have found flow in a lot of areas in my life. And I would be interested to hear what you, as a listener, where you experience the most flow. It's come in all different areas for me. Sometimes I get it when I'm reading a book that's really engaging, usually like a nonfiction book, because that's kind of all I read, where I'm really chewing on the concepts. And it takes a little work to get it, right? And that's why I like to read books that are harder reads, if you will. So I don't read a lot of fiction. I don't think there's anything wrong with fiction, but I find that the books that take a little bit of chewing to get through, I get more enjoyment out of, because then I get the dopamine from, oh, I grasped that concept. Oh, now I can apply that concept to my life. It just feels better. So I get into a flow state faster. I've had it while making cheese. Cheese is a fun one because it's difficult. And go back, remember those three aspects of a flow state. It has to be voluntary. So this is why we're probably not seeing a lot of flow states with children in traditional schools, right? It's not voluntary. Most of them are there because they have to be there. So this has to be a choice you make to pursue this. It has to be challenging. It can't just be something you've done repeatedly and you just go through the motions. And it has to be worthwhile. So it has to be something that is important to you, that it matters to you. And those are the three pieces. So books are a big one for me. Making cheese. Horsemanship is big when I'm really engaged in trying to get something figured out with a horse, and thinking through it, not just riding, right? But like really thinking about it. One that I really love is sorting cattle. When we wean in the fall or we're preconditioning or whatever, there's something about the process that it's like making all of my brain fire, and it's challenging, and I have to read my horse and read the cow here and read the cow here and make sure my position is right and watch what the other riders are doing and watch the gate man. I love it. Like, I can literally feel my brain lighting up. It's challenging. It's voluntary. It's worthwhile. And I mean, I feel like my brain is just humming with happiness when I do something like that. I get a big charge out of renovating old buildings. You guys know that. Soda fountain in the houses we've done. Writing words on a page, growing things in the garden, experimenting with recipes. Please make your own list so you can start kind of identifying this in your life, because I think it's important, not only to give more credence to these skills that we're chasing, but also just to know what you can reach for when you're feeling out of whack. And anyone around me in my circles knows that when Jill is stressed, I need to go to the garden, or I need to go be outside, or I need to go make something. I need to get into the kitchen and be alone. I need to go ride a horse alone. That is what gets me back to center. And I think when you know what gets you back to center, that goes a really long, long way for our mental health. I was watching my son in a flow state yesterday. Some of you may have seen this story on Instagram. It was so funny. He's older now, so he gets to stay home alone for small periods of time when we're just not far away, right? And he's getting to lean into that responsibility. And so he was home alone for a short period of time this past week. And, you know, he knew how to contact neighbors if there was trouble and get a hold of us and all that. So I came home, wasn't really sure what he was going to fill that time with. You know, he doesn't have access to a phone, or, I mean, he can call us if he needs to, but he doesn't have a smartphone. He doesn't have access to an iPad to play video games. So I come home and I could tell that something had gone down while I was gone, because him and my youngest were kind of acting sheepish and they didn't want me to come into the kitchen. So I was like, guys, like, what happened? Just like, what'd you do? Just tell me. Just let's get it over with. And I walk around the corner and there is his terrarium sitting on my kitchen island with three baby mice inside a lid, of course. And he's grinning like a Cheshire cat. And apparently he had spent his afternoon catching these mice. He had found them in our basement window wells. He checks them periodically because sometimes there's cool things like snakes and salamanders in there. So he'd found these mice. He had devised a way to catch them. Actually, first he had tried to make a trap out of a milk jug. He had tried all these different trap ideas, no-kill traps, of course. And then he finally realized he just was going to have to grab the baby mice. So he put on gloves and he caught them and put them in the terrarium. He was feeding them pepperoni, and there they were sitting on my kitchen island. I don't freak out about small critters in my house. He had a snake last year. It doesn't really bother me. I mean, I don't love mice in the kitchen, but anyway, I was so amused by this. And then the following day, he decided he wanted to research other no-kill trap ideas. And he asked if he could use a computer after our homeschool lessons were over to research different designs. So he probably spent over an hour researching designs. And then he spent, I am not exaggerating, guys, 4 to 5 hours that day, completely focused, completely engaged, digging through dumpsters, digging through trash cans to find the pieces of milk jugs and bottles and PVC pipe and buckets. And he was drilling and hot gluing and connecting. And he was lit up. Like, this kid was in the ultimate flow state over a freaking mousetrap, right? But the topic doesn't matter. It's just the fact that his brain was so engaged. He was learning engineering. He was learning some physics. He was learning problem solving. He was thinking about animal behavior. That is what I love to see, both for my children and myself. So your flow states might come from weird things, and that's okay. I want to just give you reassurance that if you've ever been called a fun hater, which I have, and I know many of you have as well, lean into it, because you and I, we do have fun. We just have it in unconventional ways. And I would dare to say that I think sometimes once you have identified that flow state, you may even have more fun, quote unquote, than the average person, because you're getting it all throughout your day in all through different ways. And it's okay if you, as a modern person, resist this industrial notion that work and fun must fit into separate compartments. And that's a very modern idea. If we're talking about being old-fashioned on purpose, if we're talking about pushing back against progress gone wild, Wendell Berry talks about this in his book, The Unsettling of America. He talks about specialization. And I talk about this in Old Fashioned on Purpose, about how it's such a modern phenomenon that we have to have specialists in every area. And even our entertainment is outsourced. You know, that's not how it's worked for humans traditionally. And it's okay to enjoy your work. It's actually a good thing. It's a gift. And when you're working hard at something you love, truly, there is nothing better. And since we're talking about Wendell Berry, one of my favorite quotes of his, I actually have it hanging in my office. He says, "When work is done for love, of the place where it is done, of the materials, the artistry, and the product of the work, of the people it is done with and for, then the sign or evidence of it will be beauty." And I don't know about you, but I don't think there is much better of a combination than beauty and flow at the same time. So, to my fellow fun hater friends, you're not alone. There's nothing wrong with you if you don't really feel that excited about shopping or concerts or sporting events. Or maybe you do like those things, and that's perfectly fine. But you get a bigger charge and a bigger hit of dopamine from doing unconventional, weird, old-fashioned things. I happen to think that's a really good trait, and I'm all about leaning into it. So the next time someone asks me in an interview or otherwise what I do for fun, I think that my answer will be all of it. So friends, that's all I got for you today. It's a little bit of a shorter episode. Thanks for listening. Thanks for being here for my ramblings. It's so fun, if you will, to find like-minded people who are just as weird as I am on social media and in the audience of this podcast. So I appreciate you. I appreciate you leaving your reviews and ratings and your comments. It's awesome. So thanks so much. And we will chat again on the next episode of Old Fashioned on Purpose.